is going on, everybody? This is another edition of 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Yours truly in the building, back for another edition. Hey, folks, as I record this podcast, 10 days away from Daytona when this episode comes out next week. Next Wednesday, the day after the Clash, it'll be less than that. Eddie Greer III for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast EG3. Y'all know the deal is Camping World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the NASCAR Cup Series, the 3BS divisions, and all of motorsports here in Manhattan, Kansas, folks. And then here shortly, top of the hour, have my dude in here. Dude, we're going to talk the 500. But before that, we're going to talk some big news coming out of the Camping World Truck Series. Stunner. It was a half hour ago before hopping onto this podcast. Big Stunner was a big organization and a big time name that you guys should feel familiar and should know. And that's all I'm going to say with that. I'm going to save that for our guests here shortly, folks. So, but yeah, real quick, I wanted to talk about Richard Childress Racing while we're waiting on our guest, Briar Starr from Speedway Media, returning to the podcast. So, Richard Childress Racing last year, of course, got Tyler Reddick from the back-to-back Xfinity Series titles, and he, along with Austin Dillon, of course, Austin Dillon had that one win at Texas, and then Tyler Reddick had some stellar runs, especially early on in the year. Of course, one that comes to mind, Homestead, which is going to be the third race of the year here with the Florida Triple Play. I'm going to call it that, the Florida Triple Play, with, of course, the Daytona 500, the Daytona Road Course, and then you got to turn around and go back down south to Homestead, Miami, for that race right there. And Reddick was up there in the top five for most of the day, most of the evening when this race was finally got started with all the rain delays and all that. But Austin Dillon, as I've noted on this podcast, especially in the offseason, had that stellar run in the first round of the playoffs and then faded away with some bad luck in the second round. But Austin Dillon, he finished 11th in the standings a year ago. We will see him in the Clash next week. And also a former 500 winner, 4 top fives, 9 top tens, and that winner from Texas a year ago. And then, of course, your Tyler Reddick finished top 20 in the points last year as a rookie. Of course, he had the same equal of top 10 with 9, only 3 top fives, and of course had that stage win, that coming, I believe, at Talladega, if my memory states correctly there. So it's going to be interesting this year. See how this goes this year. Obviously, I mean, Austin Dillon, we know he's pretty competitive on the speedway tracks as well. And I'm interested to see the growth of Tyler Reddick. Of course, kind of faded a little bit in the second half of the regular season last year. So, year two with the same crew chief he's had for the past 2 years, including that the first year, he worked with Brandon Burnett in that second run to the Xfinity Series Championship with Richard Childress Racing as well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out as well. So, I mean, with the competitiveness, you got Ross Chastain, Christopher Bell moving places around. I mean, it's going to be tough sledding. I mean, Richard, they took a step forward last year. And for what it is, I think Tyler Reddick pushed Austin Dillon. I mentioned it on the podcast several instances last year on the show that, you know, Tyler Reddick was outdoing Austin Dillon early on in the year. And Austin Dillon, to me, is in the same category with Eric Almirola. Not in the same category as far as prestige goes. I mean, Almirola's kind of, but if you take away Richard Childress Racing, his grandson, yeah, you put him in that same sense as well. I mean, yeah, he's in the Fame 3 car that Dale Sr. drove for obviously many, many years, especially around this track. You ought to get up front and make some noise instead of running, you know, mid-pack somewhere else like that. But again, not just start of the year, but see how he can carry that momentum. Obviously, he puts a lot of bets on himself most of the time anyways, and Tyler Reich. I look for him to make some kind of splash at some point. I believe I made a pick. It was going to be, I think I picked him to be one of the first rookie to win a race last year. If I'm not mistaken, I might have picked Bell. I might have picked Tyler Reich. I'm 100% sure, but I'm not. It's been a lot of episodes ago since then. But Tyler Reich, can he make a move? I mean, like I said in the previous show, again, folks, have not checked out the latest episode of the 3Wide Podcast with EG3, the Busch Clash Preview. I know it's sort of a week out, but we're getting closer to it after the recording of this podcast. Here, go check that out and tell your friends, because Busch Clash, this upcoming Tuesday night down there, the kickoff speed week down there as well. And I forgot what I was going to say. I had one thought in there, but I quickly lost thought of that as well. But yeah, you got to qualify, I believe it's that night too. Interesting schedule that is set up this year. All anticipations of the Daytona 500 right around the corner, folks. Before we know it, it's going to be right here at the doorstep waiting for us. And we all know what, Tyler Reddick, the last time we were here at Daytona, made one bonsai move. I mean, hey, you can't really blame him for it. He was trying to get himself in position to try to make it to the postseason, and it failed on him, and it caused sort of a big wreck there. So he ain't afraid to put it in there. Let's just call it that. So can Reddick get it done? There's so much competition there, going back earlier in that episode, I said that I don't think it's going to be a two horse race. I think there's going to be about possibly three, at least a third up in there, trying to get wins in here. And there's going to be a lot of stories bouncing around the Cup. So you got new teams, things like that. So, what it is, Richard Childress Racing, I give them a average grade, C. What it is, I mean, doesn't sound a lot. I mean, yeah, they improved, but, Richard Childress Racing, a name that's familiar on Daytona surface. And I'd be interested to see what's going to happen here, down here as we start 2021 in Daytona for a couple weeks, before heading down to South Florida in Homestead, and of course the rest of the schedule, at least for the first half of it. So lots of stuff going on there, and we will know when this episode airs, the winner of the Busch Clash, and possibly, I think this episode will come out before the start of Daytona 500 pole qualifying. So that's what we're looking at here for next week. There's so much going on, and obviously, we might have another episode sneak in there between now and pole qualifying as well, trying to get that worked out for this weekend. Obviously, a Super Bowl 55 on the horizon as well this weekend as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on in sports. Football coming to a close, sadly, and the rise of NASCAR coming on the door. And next thing to be, you know it, baseball will be around the corner as well. Basketball is going as well. I believe hockey just started recently as well. So these winter/spring sports up and coming here as we're still in this middle of what's supposed to be towards the end of this pandemic, but we're far from that. But hopefully in the second half of the year, we can get a lot of fans in the stands. Obviously, Daytona 500 is not going to get the traditional quote-unquote sellout, but they have, at least as far as I know, sold most of their tickets, if I'm not mistaken. I know our boy AJ from Loose Lugs going. One of my Truex Nation buddies going. He's been down there. He's gone to a few of the 500s every single year. I don't know how long he's been going, but he's been going ever since I met him in the group as well. So yeah, things are on the upswing in NASCAR as well. So that's just a quick recap of Richard Childress Racing here on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. And we're going to step aside for a few moments here on the podcast. On the other side, we should have our guest ready to go here. Briar Starr, once again, dropping by the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3 again. We're going to talk big news from the Kenworth Truck Series. And of course, talk 500 preview. Man, there are a lot of cars in this field, and it feels like the heyday when you had those
48 to 50 cars trying to get into those four spots to get in. So it feels like that again. So huge field from top to bottom here for the Daytona 500. Listen, of course, you got your duels the following evening as well. So action-packed week coming up here next week down in Daytona. We're going to step aside for a quick intermission. And then after the interview, of course, y'all know the deal. The ending music plays. That's going to be a wrap for the show. So we're going to step aside for a moment and wait on Briar Starr. And on the other side of the break, we have our guy, my dude, on the podcast. We're going to talk, obviously, NASCAR. But we're throwing some K-State in there that probably on the bat side and on the positive side, obviously. Chiefs point looking for back-to-back championships.
Don't get caught in the middle. The Three Wide Podcast will be right back after this timeout.
the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3. Well, still no Brian Star here, as hopefully he'll be joining us here in a little bit here. So again, Capable Truck Series, Xfinity Series, NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. All right, so while waiting on him, of course, huge, let's just take a look again at the Daytona Speed Weeks for next week. Obviously, we recorded this podcast a week before, February 4th, 2021. So looking at it here for the Cup Series schedule, obviously, next week on prime time on Tuesday, the Busch Clash at Daytona. That's at least here, a 6 o'clock to start, 7 o'clock Eastern time there. And obviously the bluegrass. So, blue-green vacations duel there for the duels begin on that Thursday night. Yeah, I'm looking at it that way as well. And then, of course, you have the Daytona 500 as well. So, doing double duty here, making sure everything's all right, ready to go. So, we're gonna step aside here. Yeah, Daytona 500 in between there. You have the Truck Series race and the Xfinity Series wet race as well. So, all right. So, a lot more on that as we get going. Apologize for the wait, ladies and gentlemen, on that. So, one of this cut in here during the music playing, and we're gonna put it back here as we get things going here. We'll step aside for a quick moment. Track here in Manhattan, Kansas. That's where you find me, Eddie Greer III, doing this podcast as well. We are closing in on a Daytona 500 here as a recording of this podcast. When this podcast comes out, ladies and gentlemen, it'll be less than that. So, but finally, our guest here tonight, a returning guest, back on the podcast. I mean, last time I talked to him, it was the end of the year podcast. We're bringing him back for the 500 preview, none other than Speedway Media's own Briar Star. Briar, how's it going, man?
It's going good. You know, off season was too quick. Unfortunately, I kind of like the little bit longer off season this year. Seems shorter than others, but took part of a little bit of the Rolex 24 last weekend. Watched a little bit of that, and I guess in 2 weeks I'll be ready for racing season to begin.
Yeah, and so as all the NASCAR fans out there as well, and you just got done, and I did not catch any of the Rolex 24, but you had a chance to at least keep up with it. At least, did you stay up for it at all, or were you able to get some sleep?
I was actually able to get some sleep. I was going to do 24 hours, but I did it 1 year, and I'm like, never again. And so I at least watched probably 13 or 14 hours of the race. So pretty good dip into the race, though.
Yeah, and the familiar teams going into victory lane. Obviously, we saw Jimmy Johnson in that race as well as former teammate Chase Elliott doing some work as well. Not like he needs some more work on workhorse races, but you saw him in there as well. So pretty stacked field in there as well. AJ Allmendinger was a part of that as well. So unfortunately, I did not see any of it, but read about it. Heard it was pretty good. So yeah. Okay, so I know we want to talk 500. We'll get to that in just a second. But, I stumbled on this an hour before recording the podcast here tonight. And we're actually going to start with a capable truck series. This news, kind of a shocker. If you obviously, Thor Sport Racing, they're going back to Toyota, where they started from. So they started with Toyota, then switched to Ford, and now they want Toyota back, which that was successful, obviously. But the bigger shocker comes in the form of Grant Imingier, your Final Four contender from a year ago. He's only going to get a part-time gig now in his own truck. And Christian Eckes, of course, the Kyle Busch Motorsports driver, former Kyle Busch Motorsports driver, getting a part. He's going to be running the 10 races in that truck. Stunning news, if you ask me. Grant Imingier has had a lot of success in the truck series, and I mean it's fresh, still fresh. So I'm trying to, I don't have the word for me right now. But this is kind of shocking news coming out of that camp, in particularly, well, not the Toyota camp, but in particular with Grant Imingier. Grant Imingier obviously has won a lot of races in the truck series, and now, like he said, getting a demotion only to a part-time schedule and splitting it with Christian Eckes. Now, Brian, you can correct me on this or not, but I did not see Ben Rhodes in this article. Maybe it comes a little later, but huge news coming out of that camp.
Yeah, definitely so. I did get the press release earlier today, and I thought, man, that's definitely kind of a head-scratcher a little bit. Imingier doing like 12 races and Eckes doing 10 or so races. I mean, obviously, Imingier was fourth in the championship last year. Took part in the championship four race at Phoenix. And, it seemed like he was really coming into his own, you know, in the last couple of years in the truck series. You know, last year was kind of his breakout year. He won four races, the most he's ever won in a season. You know, Eckes, yeah, he's a 2019 ARCA Menards Series champion. He won some races there too, but, you know, it's definitely kind of, you know, really an intriguing move. I guess we'll have to see how it works out throughout the season. But yes, I did read, and I believe that Ben Rhodes is definitely returning to the organization this year as well, full time.
Okay.
But it's definitely really interesting how the racing world works. As we all remember, the Texas incident from last year with Rhodes and Eckes.
I was just about to say something about that.
And now they're teammates this year, and so that will probably be like the first interesting meeting. Like, well, hey, you know, I know this is what happened last year, but we'll put it behind us and work together now. So it's definitely funny how the racing world works.
It always does, doesn't it? It's funny how racing works out that way sometimes. Yeah, I read the article on NASCAR.com, and it seemed like, I believe it was Eckes reached out to Rhodes there from a text message there, and they didn't speak until recently. So, and then of course, here reading off of the NASCAR.com article here from Christian Eckes. Quote, I texted Ben the other day. I finally responded to the text he sent me, I don't know, 4 months ago, end quote. And then to kind of seal the deal with it, quote, we'll go get some dinner or something to smooth it over. At the end of the day, it was 2020, and yeah, rough deal, but whatever, team first. So it seems that they're just getting over the hump, if you will, with these two. But yeah, very interesting scenario. And definitely head scratcher going in. Obviously, Johnny Sauter trying to bounce back from a terrible year. And then you have Matt Crafton returning to the 88 truck. And then, interesting scenario for Christian Eckes, right? Okay, so you were three seasons with Kyle Busch Motorsports. And I was high on Eckes last year. And even the year before that, I thought he would get at least a win in that truck. Couldn't do it. Now he's with another fine organization with Thor Sport Racing there. So interesting chance here, a second chance, if you will, for Christian Eckes to do something
in them 10 races. Now, again, I don't know which 10 there are for Christian Eckes, but those 10 races for Christian Eckes is kind of like a tryout, if you will, for him. He's got to get it done.
Definitely. It's kind of like a now or never situation, if you think of it like that. I mean, last season he's had 7 top 5s and 11 top 10 finishes. Sure, that's great, but wins and championship is what gets it done, you know, like he did in the Arca Menard series a couple of years ago. 4 wins and the championship. So, you know, of course there were a couple, you know, I hate using this word, but rumors that he could have returned to the Arca Menard series this year and run a schedule there, partial schedule, something like that. But, you know, this year is probably either make or break for Eckes. And I remember when he first, you know, was going to enter the Trek Series and he signed a deal with KBM a couple of years ago, you know, there was a lot of high emotion, like, man, we can't wait to see what he's going to do with his rookie year. We think he's going to win maybe 3 or 4 races. But then, unfortunately, it just didn't pan out the way we expected it to.
Yeah. Yeah, so Gravenier in an unfortunate situation there. Unfortunately, he's not his normal full-time gig there. He's been basically demoted, like I mentioned, to those races that we talked about. And then, of course, Eckes with his 10 races there. So very interesting, kind of a first shocker news, if you will, of NASCAR 2021. So stay tuned, folks. This is only the beginning of the season there. So, of course, the Trust Me Racing kicking off their season next Friday night down there in Daytona Beach, Florida. So, all right. So, the 500, back to the Cup Series. So, obviously, when this podcast episode comes out next Wednesday, a couple hours before Daytona qualifying for the 500, obviously. But I kind of want to get your thoughts on a Busch Clash, Breyer, a little bit. Obviously, we will know the winner when this episode comes out, but interesting setup. Obviously, we've gotten word of Ty Dillon going to be driving the 23 for Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin Racing, 2311 Racing, to kind of kick off their foundation, if you will. No Bubba Wallace, obviously, due to not getting a stage win or win last year there. So Ty Dillon is in the field. He did win a stage last year. So it's an interesting field, a power pack field, if you will. I talked about this in the second half of last week's show there. So what are your thoughts about the clash and under lights road course racing at Daytona?
Well, I think that Chase Elliott will probably have the upper hand on the field there at the Daytona road course. I mean, obviously he completely dominated the field last, you know, July or August, and when he won the race there. But, you know, yeah, you got a really interesting field. You know, you got Cole Custer, Blaney, Bowman, Buescher, a lot of these guys who definitely have talents, Hamlin too, you know. And so, yeah, you can go into the race and think, you know, Chase Elliott's going to win again on the road course. But, you know, it's Daytona. Everything is pretty much unpredictable. Of course, yes, the road course gets a little stagnant and strung out a little bit. But still, I mean, you just never know when that checkered flag drops who the winner's going to be.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely an interesting setup there. Obviously, we're used to seeing these cars on a traditional 2.5 oval racetrack in close racing, obviously, and then this is going to be totally different. It'll be close with the restarts and everything. It'll be close quarters, but after about a couple of laps, it's going to get spread out a little bit. So it's definitely going to be a 180, if you will. Definitely kind of weird. Well, it's not weird. I mean, road course racing is fun for some people, but for others, they don't like it. But I mean, the traditionalists would rather see this race be on an oval. I mean, there's been a lot of talks about it for 2 or 3 years now about switching it up a little bit. But hey, I mean, now that this is the year of different challenges, different things, and this is one of them here, the Clash at Daytona, going to be on a road course, and we know who won, who has won the last several road courses is that 9 car of Chase Elliott. Yeah, he's definitely, Breyer, going to be the favorite there. But obviously, him, and then I mentioned last week too, his teammates. Now, obviously, Larson, it's going to take him quite a bit on the road course to get himself back acclimated, but let's not forget about Alex Bowman, William Byron, and then, of course, last year, Jimmy Johnson. At one point, Briar, Hendrick Motorsports might have something, I mean, with this old car. I mean, those guys were up in the top five at one point in last year's race. Of course, it was in the daytime, so now you switch it to the nighttime. Under the lights, kind of a little bit different conditions. It's going to be really interesting to see how Hendrick Motorsports does. And, of course, there's no Kyle Larson in the field, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, you know, last year was under the lights, but if you look at the top two finishes in the summer race, it was William Byron who won the race and Chase Elliott who finished second. And of course, you know, Johnson was up there and unfortunately missed out on the playoffs last year by a couple of points. And so, you know, it's really going to be interesting to see how Hendrick Motorsports does this year, especially with the addition of Kyle Larson and with him returning to the track. I think, you know, Larson will probably perhaps get two or three wins this year and qualify for the playoffs. But, yeah, this team is definitely really interesting compared to a couple years ago when, you know, we didn't really see them run up front and contend for wins, but it seems like maybe they're finding their groove again or catching back up to, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing and some of the other top players in the field and challenging for wins again.
Yeah, so Hendrick Motorsports, of course, has the reigning champ Chase Elliott. They took a few steps forward. Last year, they were a lot more competitive, even though at the first half of the year, they weren't winning, but they were right up in the mix, fast every weekend. Bowman, in particular, he had Jimmy Johnson up there up front as well until the second half of the year, unfortunately, for Jimmy. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they can carry that momentum over to the start of 2021. So the Busch Clash on next Tuesday at the current recording of the podcast, and next Wednesday, Daytona 500 pole qual, the front row will be set for the 500. And Briar, taking a look at the entry list here, and I'm sure there's probably might be one or two more cars in this field. This is the most that we've seen a 500 entry list in quite some time. Kind of going back to the old days, if you will, a little bit here, and obviously, you can correct me on this or not. I believe there's going to be 40 cars in the field. I'm not 100% sure how that's going to go, but obviously we know this. There's from top to bottom, there's some big players in the field. Jimmy McMurray has an automatic spot already for the 500. And then you have a couple of two Xfinity Series guys up in here. Noah Gregson, last year's opening season premier winner at Daytona last year, and then Austin Cindric is going to get his hands dirty a little bit in that other Penske entry as well. That's an interesting setup there as well. Obviously, Austin Cindric already knows what he's going to be doing. We haven't even raced a lap yet in 2021. He's already going to be know what his future is for 2022, taking over the Wood Brothers ride there. So that fourth Penske entry there for Austin Cindric, that 33. That's going to be interesting to see him up in the mix. So, a lot of interesting storylines heading into next week with a lot of heavy hitters here. And like Daniel Suarez last year, missing the 500 there after a mix-up, apparently, trying to get on pit road, if my memory is correct on that. So, a lot of big names, Byron. I already predicted possibly two big name drivers could be going home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if you continue to look at the entry list, you know, you got Ross Chastain taking over the number 42 finally for full time this year for Chip Ganassi Racing. And then you have Eric Jones moving over to the number 43 with Christopher Bell moving to the 20, taking his spot. And then you got Anthony Alfredo, you know, moving up to the 38 Front Row Motorsports, you know, car. So, yeah, the best entry list is probably one of the most, you know, entry list that's happened in the last couple of years. And you know, of course, you got Bubba Wallace competing in number 23 for the season, and it will be interesting to see how he does. But yes, this entry list is I mean for sure, like you said, there's going to be a couple of players that are definitely going to go home.
Yeah, and then you have David Reagan up there in the number back in the 36 racing Daytona. We know how he runs pretty competitively up there when it comes to the speedway tracks and the Daytona and Talladega as well. So he's kind of that sleeper, if you will, there. Named Daniel Suarez, Trackhouse. Trackhouse is very interesting for me there. The 99, Justin Marks entry. Then you have Pitbull there, part owning that team. So I'm excited about that as well. But Daniel Suarez, again, as I mentioned, missed out on the 500. So he's going to be licking his chops, trying to make this field here. And obviously, he went off to a slow start at Dump Brothers. So the career path has been very interesting, Brian, for Daniel Suarez. You know, obviously started out with Joe Gibbs Racing, and then he's been bounced around last couple years here. Daniel Suarez, can he make some? Obviously, we don't know. Obviously, right now, you know, Trackhouse, new to the sport, new team in the Cup Series. At Suarez and Trackhouse, we're gonna find out here early on how this team gels.
For sure. Last year was probably the most disappointing year that Daniel Suarez has ever had in his career. You know, he never didn't get a top five. He never got a top 10. And I believe, if I'm correct, he did really, actually, he did lead 20 laps, but that was about it. That was, you know, down from the previous years before, the one he was with, you know, Joe Gibbs Racing. And I think his best finish was 18th a couple of times. And so this year is hopefully a better year with Suarez. Like you said, we've yet to see what kind of equipment is that car is going to run and how they're going to be running up front and contending perhaps wins, but we really don't know until after Daytona, because of course Daytona is the equalizer of all tracks. But it'll, you know, we'll definitely see maybe probably four or five races into the year.
Yeah, and I want to go circle back to Anthony Alfredo a little bit. Obviously, he Front Row Motorsports teammate with Michael McDowell, who had a couple good runs last year, including the road course going back last year for McDowell as well. Alfredo's also very intriguing, a rookie replaced with another rookie, obviously John Hunter Nemechek, going back to the Truck Series in the Ford truck with, if my memory is correct there, with Kyle Busch Motorsports. He wants to go back and be much more competitive. You enter Anthony Alfredo. Now, he had some good runs in the Xfinity Series, and now he's kind of jumping the fray a little bit now in the Cup Series there for the pasta guy, Anthony Alfredo. Very interesting here for Front Row Motorsports, obviously, when you mix in David Reagan making a special appearance, trying to get into the 500. Anthony Alfredo, this is for him. This is going to be a whole new learning curve for him. You're racing around, obviously, veterans and obviously champions of the sport here. So this is a chance for AA to learn something here and try to stay out of trouble.
Right. You know, last year he was with Richard Childress Racing in the Xfinity Series, where, of course, there is definitely a lot of talent in the Xfinity Series, don't get me wrong, but when you make the move up to the Cup Series, everybody's on their A game. They've already had, you know, 10-plus years of experience for a lot of people. And so, there could be a learning curve there this year, and we'll see how he has to do. You know, another guy that catches my eye on the entry list, not trying to get off topic, but, you know, Kaz Grala. He's going to be racing in the 500, or going to try to race in the 500 this year. You know, he had that top 10 finish subbing in for Austin Dillon last year on the road course, too. And so, it's really going to be, this whole year and season is definitely going to be really intriguing to watch.
Yeah, and Colleague Racing has been very interested in trying to get their program up to the next level in the Cup Series. Obviously, we know their success in the Xfinity Series now for a couple years now. Obviously, Ross Chastain was in that program before moving back over to Chip Ganassi Racing in that 42 ride this year as well. But yeah, Cash Ball, he's going to try to put that Colleague car in the field for the 500. It's going to be interesting to see how he does on speedway racing there for him as well. And you mentioned it, very good run last year, replacing, which was the COVID Austin Dillon at that moment in time. And Kyle Rawley did a tremendous job on the road course there. And so that Colleague Racing making that making bitty steps, taking a step by step to try to get themselves in the Cup Series, and well deserved. We know their success in the Xfinity Series. And, you know, AJ Allmendinger,
full time in the Xfinity Series. So he says that team got shot to be racing for a championship in Phoenix later this year. So I mean, college racing is a team to watch, especially if they're trying to get in the field for these Cup races this year.
And for sure, and you know, in the Xfinity Series as well, a lot of their wins have come at Daytona or Talladega, or of course the Charlotte Road Course with either AJ Allmendinger or Justin Haley in the car. And they, you know, I remember they were fighting for a top three finishing position until one of them accidentally took each other out last year or a couple of years ago. And so, you know, they are really super speedway contenders. I think you really gotta put them on your fantasy list every time it's, you know, either the opening season race at Daytona or, you know, the July race at Daytona or August, you know. And so they definitely are a strong contender at the Daytona races for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then another name to keep an eye on, obviously, every time we talk speedway racing, obviously, Brian Starr here with me from Speedway Media on the 3Y NASCAR Podcast EG3. Eddie Greeter III here with you guys, folks, for this 500 preview. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., JDTG Doherty Racing. Obviously, this team was fast last year and scored the pole for a 2500 qualifying a year ago. This team was just fast right out of the truck, was very competitive, and of course ran into a little bit of troubles in last year's 500 race, which we'll talk about here momentarily. But Ricky Stenhouse Jr., obviously, I mean, he's, when it comes to these speedway races, folks, he's going to be right up there in the mix. It's going to be interesting to see how he does this year. Can he back that up this year? We know he's going to be a contender. We know he's going to be mixing up front with the Joey Logano's, the Keselowski's, Kyle Busch's of the world. So, Briar, what do you think about JDT Doherty Racing and Ricky Stenhouse Jr.'s chances?
I think Stenhouse probably has a, you know, 75% chance of running up in the top five. It all depends if he can, you know, avoid being in the big one that seems like always happens every year at Daytona. You know, for him, it just been looking on the results, it's either been, you know, top 10 or crashed out. You know, last year he started on the pole, yes, but he ended up, you know, 20th on the running order a few laps down after being involved in an incident. And so, you know, you never really know what's going to happen in these super speedway races. You know, he won at Talladega a couple of years ago with the Roush Fenway Racing. And last year, I think, at Talladega, he was runner-up, too, with the JTG Doherty Racing. So it seems like it's either, you know, top five or bust for Stenhouse. And, of course, as the season went on, he kind of struggled a little bit, was involved in a lot of accidents. And so hopefully this year will be a bounce-back year for him.
Yeah, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. finished 20th in last year's 500 there after leading 24 laps. He was running strongly in the first portion of that race as well. And of course, one of the other big news stories, speaking of Thor Sport Racing, Denny Hamlin, your defending 500 winner, two-time 500 winner, and he's going for a third straight. He's won this race three times, going for a fourth and looking for, in the middle of that, three in a row. Denny Hamlin, obviously, in the news, obviously, this week, Breyer re-signing with Joe Gibbs Racing and his longtime sponsor FedEx sticking with Denny Hamlin. That's huge. And he was one of the big names. It was going to be obviously a free agent at the end of 2021 season. But now that's big. Obviously, Denny Hamlin, a co-owner of his new team with Michael Jordan with 2311 Racing. Mentioned in last week's episode, it's going to be interesting to see how he does. Now we know how good he is as a dry race car driver, obviously, but as an owner, his split duties, if you will, watching over Bubba Wallace, his competitor, and his employee Bubba Wallace in the 23 car. So that's going to be one of the storylines to follow, in my opinion, this year. But Denny Hamlin, next week, going for three in a row, 500 wins. Obviously, he led 79 laps a year ago, survived, obviously, the horrifying wreck a year ago with Blaney and Ryan Newman. Who could ever forget that? But Denny Hamlin, what, and now with all that contract out of the way, sponsor sticking with him, he can go have some fun, go race, and try to get that elusive championship that has slipped away from him quite a few times now.
And yeah, you know, he's pretty much has the super speedway racing figured out. You know, he's always one of the ones up there at the front running at the end of these races. He's either finishing in the top, you know, three or five, or winning these races. And so I feel like, you know, if you're a fantasy player, you have to have him on your team, because why not, you know? So he's a really good racer. Yes, of course, the Bubba situation, you know, it could be on his mind. It might be a distraction. We'll have to see how that happens. But, you know, these next 2 years will be a breakout years for him, as last year was his peak age, as we recently talked about on the end of the year podcast, where he was 39 and had 7 wins. And so, you know, is the peak performance going to drop off after, you know, age 39? Obviously, Kevin Harvick is, you know, he was well past that age, and he's still, you know, had a breakout year last year. And so, yeah, I think it was smart of, you know, JGR to keep Hamlin. You know, obviously Hamlin could have retired and just be a team owner, but, you know, I think in Hamlin's mind, he wants to keep racing as long as he's competitive, and I feel like he's going to be competitive for years to come.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin is going to be a force to be working with, not only next week, but the rest of the season, obviously, coming off a tremendous year, 7 wins, and coming up short, though still at Phoenix for the championship. You mentioned Kevin Harvick. I was going to, and we're recording this on Super Bowl week, so Kevin Harvick, right in that Tom Brady age, if you will, still winning races at a freaking rate, obviously. Missing the championship for, like we discussed last time you're on here, last year, and it's gonna be interesting to see. I mean, they said they put it behind them. There's an article somewhere I read a couple weeks ago that I believe it was on The Athletic that, you know, Harvick, this team has moved forward. They talked about they've moved on, but that's gotta be a tough pill to swallow when you win that many races, the dominant car of the entire year, and then somehow missed the championship four there. So that's a pretty good example right there. You just can't count your chickens until they hatch just yet there. But Harvick, be interested to see, can he follow that up with another strong year or not? And there's just too many big names here that are hungry for wins, obviously. And you're throwing Kyle Larson in here that we mentioned, Kyle Busch looking to bounce back, Martin Truex Jr. in there, Ryan Blaney trying to get a multi-winner for him. It'll be his first. So there's a lot of names. Matt DiBenedetto in here. So there are a lot of names going to be hungry for wins. And with the schedule especially in the regular season, has shaked out here, I think there's going to be a lot of players in here. But can that four car bounce back after a disappointing end to that season last year?
You know, last year was a heartbreaker when he couldn't make the championship four after having 9 wins and probably the most he's ever had in a season in his Cup Series career. And, you know, that's going to be a kind of a reach for him this year. 9 wins in a Cup Series field is tough nowadays. I mean, yes, that's possible. We've seen it last year, and we've seen it, you know, he was close to it in 2018 when he had 8 wins. And so it's possible where he could have another breakout year like he did last year, but it's tough nowadays with, as you mentioned, the stacked field that we have anymore. You know, you got a lot of rookies coming up that are trying to make a name for themselves, and you know, stars like him kind of reaching the end of the road in their career in a few years, and so, you know, it's hard to keep that winning momentum going, for sure.
Yeah, and then you have, with Harvick, obviously with Sturhaus Racing, Chase Briscoe bringing him in the 14, and then Eric Almirola back in the 10 car. This is a critical year for him. And then Cole Custer in his second year with Sturhaus Racing. So interesting mix, excuse me, of veteran and young guys on that team there for him. So can the rest of them, obviously Chase Briscoe, I mean, interesting to see how he can adapt to the cup car, but everybody else, Cole Custer, second year, and Almirola, like I mentioned, a critical year for him. And we talked about Almirola, if my memory is correct on that as well, in the last time you were here as well. So Sturhaus, interesting. I mean, it's been a one-car team, really, in my opinion, the last several years. And can anybody catch up with Bowyer out of the fold now in the Fox booth? It's an interesting mix heading into Daytona and pretty much the start of the season, Breyer.
I feel like one of the guys that we're probably going to have to keep an eye on this year, of course, Almirola really needs to shine in 2021, but I think Cole Custer could potentially have a strong run this year. Last year, he qualified for the playoffs with that amazing Kentucky win that he had last summer, and I feel like, you know, Custer could get 2 to 3 wins this year, or potentially 4, and, you know, it's bold prediction, but you know, he's a really, you know, strong driver. It's going to take a little while to come into his own, but I feel like, you know, if he can keep doing what he's doing, have a good relationship with his crew chief and team, I feel like Custer is going to be right up there in the mix. I don't know if he's championship 4 ready yet, but perhaps he could be, you know, make that top 8 or be close to it.
Yeah, see, that's an interesting prediction right there for you, right? That's pretty interesting, but hey, gotta make it fun. That's what I like about you. But yeah, interesting there as well, and we could go on and on. Obviously, Penske and JGR as well, Christopher Bell in that 20 car, kind of back home, if you will, from after a year with Levine Family Racing last year in that 95 car as well. So yeah, Penske Racing has Logano and Keselowski and Blaney. Blaney has really been strong on his speedway tracks since he's been in the Cup Series as well. So from top to bottom, man, this is going to be interesting. This should be really good with the Busch Clash on the road course, and then of course you have all the activities leading up to the Daytona 500 next Sunday. Can't believe it. Next Sunday. Not this upcoming Sunday, but next Sunday, the following Sunday, the 14th on Fox, to see who comes out with the big trophy here. And Breyer, what were some of the keys for some of these guys to make it to the end, obviously? And that's the goal, obviously, but what are your keys to success for the 500 next week?
I feel like one of the biggest keys to success of the 500 is avoid the big one. Like I talked about earlier, it seems like we have them every year. It happens either in the summer race or in the, you know, opening race of the year. You got to be patient with your move. You can't make your move too early. You know, we've seen some guys make their move with 5 laps to go and they fall all the way back to 15th in a running order. You know, pit stops have got to be perfect. You can't have a mistake on a pit stop, especially under a green flag, where that could cost you a lot of time. You can't have any penalties, of course, or else that will cost you too. And so I think that's probably some biggest, you know, takeaways from having a successful 500. Honestly, it's really tough to win this race because everything changes throughout those 200 laps, and you don't know until who's going to win until the checkered flag drops at the end of the race. And so, but I feel like the biggest takeaway is avoiding the big one for sure.
Yeah, that should be on everybody's top of the list. Number one, stay out of the big one. One little mistake and yeah, just like that, 10, 15 cars will be right up in the mix, getting crashed out. So that's always in the mix as well. And yeah, you gotta, where if you can avoid it where you can, depending on where you out in the racetrack, do the best that you can. But yeah, number one, yeah, definitely stay out of the big one or multiple big ones that we've seen the last couple years. But the last time we're at Daytona, obviously, William Byron, the regular season walk-off, his first cup win in his career. He's paired with a new crew chief. Well, the one he worked at recently,
Rudy Fugle from Kyle Busch Motorsports, and where he won 7 races and he failed to get to the championship 4 due to an issue late in the Phoenix race a few years back. So William Byron excited to have him back as crew chief as well. So the top 10 last year, Hamlin won last year, Ryan Blaney finished 2nd, Chris Buescher finished 3rd, David Reagan, somebody I talked about here all night tonight, finished 4th, Harvick finished 5th, Clint Bowyer, the now retired Clint Bowyer, 6th, Brendan Gaughan, also retired, if I'm not mistaken now. Brendan Gaughan, he's always in the mix late in these races. 7th, and then Corey LaJoy. Last year he was with GoFast Breyer. This year he's with the Spire Motorsports, the 2nd entry this year, the 7 car. It'll be interesting, fascinating to watch him in that new ride this year. Newman, with everything that happened to him, he's crossed the line. 9th, the Miracle Man. 9th, and then Kyle Larson finished in the 10th position. And that was your top 10 from last year's 500. And Ryan Newman led 15 laps in there. And then, of course, Corey LaJoy only led a lap. Blaney led 4 laps as well. And then Chase Elliott, your defending champ, NASCAR Cup champion, led 23 laps in here. So it's like a yo-yo going back and forth. You got to pick your spots at the right time.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you talked about. And I feel like the 62 team, the Brendan Gaughan, like you said, has always ran up front at these races. And so if Noah can race his way in, he might have a shot to have a top 10 finish. These guys have finished in the top 10 the last few races. Bowyer being out, Briscoe being in, it'll be interesting to see how Briscoe performs in the 14. But I feel like if I'm going to make a bold prediction early, I feel like Ryan Blaney gets his first 500 win.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, kind of pile on, like I said earlier. Blaney, he's been right up there in the mix. Obviously, he's won Talladega twice. And still, the last couple of 500s, Blaney, he's been right there. He's been right there on the cusp of winning. But then something happens to him like a couple years ago. He was in the mix there. Then he faded back a little bit. And obviously, last year's wild finish last year. That crazy ending there. So Blaney, he's been knocking on the door, and that's a good bold prediction right there. If we all had one there, me, as far as that goes here, man, it's really tough. But I'm gonna go Matty D. Matty D needs a strong run to start off the year. This is a big year for him. And I mentioned Eric Almirola early on in the show. Matty D in that 21 car. This is the start of a campaign for him. Obviously, he's been bounced around, unfortunately, later in his career already. And he's already out of that 21 ride at the end of the year. So he's got to be auditioning for a ride. And Matty D knows how to get around Daytona, obviously. He ran inside the top the last time we were at Daytona. He was battling for a spot to get into the playoffs. He was up in the top 10 for latter part of that night race there. So I'm looking for him to make a splash in this race as well. And I might go a little further and looking at, I know Ryan Newman has been a terrific speedway racer, but I'm looking at Chris Buescher in that 17 also. Strong one last year. And I mean, all these guys got to pay attention to, but Chris Buescher, he could be somebody. He's kind of one of my sleepers for this race next weekend. That's not a bad pick as well. So if I had anything, Matty D, if he can stay out of the big one, he could be somebody to deal with that Pitsky power late in the race. If he can get to the end, and then Chris Buescher, you know, if he can do what he does, he kind of stays under the ground, if you will. He don't really see him coming until the very end. Like, oh man, where did that 17th come from? He's 8th or something like that. There's a couple instances last year that, you know, he ran pretty well. So I like my chances there.
Yeah, especially in the summer race, he finished 9th in the top 10. And then in 2018, he finished 5th in both races at Daytona. So he has a really kind of a knack for super speedway racing. He's always running up front, always, like you said, flying under the radar. Kind of, you know, he's kind of almost missing the big ones. You know, unfortunately, in 2019, he looked like he was caught up in a couple of incidents that took him out of the running order. But it seems like every other time that we go down there, when you look at the results, it's like, oh, Chris Buescher, he's in, you know, the top 10. And, you know, you can say it's surprising because he doesn't want to run up near the front all day long. But and to me, it's not surprising anymore if we see him finish in the top 10 at these super speedway races.
Yeah, so we'll see what all goes down next Sunday on Fox. The Daytona 500 kicks off officially the 2021 NASCAR Cup Series season. That puts a book in to that discussion. Just a few more minutes with Briar tonight on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Eddie Greer III here in Manhattan, Kansas. And every time I have Briar Starr, you know we're going to talk K-State. And unfortunately, we'll talk about them just for a few minutes here. But Briar, your thoughts on basketball, obviously. You know, Bruce Weber, the Bruce Weber birds, the people are not happy, and the talking is getting louder and louder. I mean, obviously, we kind of talked about it a little bit or the last time we were on the podcast a little bit, but since then, Briar, the boys team, the men's team, has lost 9 straight games. So shaky ground for Bruce Weber and that coaching staff, and there's been a back and forth discussion. Now Gene Taylor said earlier this week that he's going to keep Bruce Weber, and then what got me was the other comment, which was, we'll keep him unless something off the field happens. I did not understand that. The only understanding is that somebody, one of the players, gets in trouble off the field, but only thing off the field right now is we're still dealing with this pandemic. So, but Gene Taylor is going, at least for now, keep Bruce Weber as the coach. But kind of your assessment of men's basketball right now, and the women, they're competitive, but right now they're not winning games either. But the men's team, what do you think of it?
Boy, it sure has been kind of a pitfall, you know, season so far. It's really kind of hard anymore to get excited to watch a K-State men's game. You know, I still tune in when it's on a regular network and not ESPN Plus because I don't have the network. But, you know, there's been a lot of, at least a couple of games against Baylor on the 19th of December. They lost to 100 points, and then of course a couple of weeks ago they lost 107-59 to Baylor, and then of course the miserable loss to Fort Hays State. You know, it's really been a disappointing season. I still watch and of course support them and cheer for them, but man, it's, you know, I think something's definitely has to change by the end of the season, or at least after the season is complete and the coaching staff.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens. Obviously, we still have a handful of games left in February, and like I've said on my other podcast, I don't think it's going to get any better. So it's interesting that you say that coaching, that you need a change. So, I mean, Gene Taylor is going to ride it out for now, but yeah, I mean, you got to, at this point, I mean, you want to see your team improve, and I don't think we're seeing that from this group. Obviously, there's a bright spot in there with Nigel Pack. He's been doing pretty well this year when he's on the floor, but the only time he has been on the floor he's been dealing with the whole COVID issue thing, but when he's on the floor, he's been able to do well. Obviously, and speaking of ESPN Plus, you know, I didn't even know, well, I knew it, I knew the game was on ESPN Plus, but I didn't even watch it. The KU game the other night. I forgot it was on. That's how bad it is right now. I tuned into the A&M game over the weekend, last weekend, watched that game still. So I'll still watch them like you as well. But if they're on ESPN Plus, I tend to forget about them. So that's how it is at K-State right now. They're not, the men's team isn't making it any fun right now. At least the women's are competitive, but
they can't finish a Big 12 game, and stunningly, they have no conference wins. I mean, at least the men have one, but when you flip it to the women's side with Jeff Mitty group here, I can't figure it out. They're picked top half of the field preseason, and they lost last night in overtime. The fourth quarter has been a mystifying quarter for the girls' team this year. Had a lead going into the fourth quarter. How many times I've said that in my other podcast that I do with my co-host Alex on my K-State podcast. But Breyer, kind of shocking and disappointing not to see a win or wins in the win call for this women's team.
Yeah, you know, I had unfortunately been able to keep up with the women's team as much as I would like this year, but, you know, just looking at the last few games, they've lost the last few games, and of course, unfortunately, that overtime loss last night to Texas Tech, that's disappointing. I know a couple of years ago, this women's team was, you know, on fire, and I think made it to the postseason playoffs as well, and so... Yeah. I still like to wear my gear, but right now it's kind of a disappointing time to be a K-State fan in sports, at least in basketball.
Yeah, kind of all starting football with the 4-1 start and then losing all the rest of your games, lost six straight, and it's kind of carried on here. I mean, so right now nothing really to kind of smile about if you're a K-State fan. Kind of to end this episode of the podcast with something positive now. When this episode comes out, Breyer, we're going to know who won the Super Bowl 55 with the Chiefs and the Bucks. Obviously, this Sunday, this is a rematch of a game earlier this year between the two teams in the very same setting. But now, you're much different setting. This is the Super Bowl here. Obviously, Chiefs trying to run it back, trying to win back-to-back championships, and try to deny Tom Brady another ring. So, hey, did the Chiefs got shot?
It's going to be a nerve-wracking game. I don't know why, but every Chiefs game is always nerve-wracking for me because they'll have the lead, and then the team, the opponent will come back for a little bit and, you know, take the lead. Kind of like the Buffalo Bills game, that was wild to watch. But, you know, earlier this year, or last year, I should say, they won against the Buccaneers, but it was only by 3 points. And so, you know, it's really nervous to watch a Chiefs game. But I'm really excited for Byron Pringle again. Mm-hmm, me and you have texted back and forth about him and all that sort of good stuff. But Pringle has really, whenever he gets the chance to play, he really shines. And hopefully they can, the Chiefs, and of course Pringle too, hopefully they can win another Super Bowl again.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. Obviously, we're going to know the winner of that game when this episode comes out. All right, Breyer Starr from Speedway Media. Once again, back on the podcast, Breyer. Tell everyone where they can find you and what are you going to be working on the next couple of weeks as the season gets going here?
Well, as the season comes near, probably we'll write up a Truck Series preview perhaps, because considering that's my specialty. Also, we'll be working on some other forms of motorsports this season, such as the NHRA, of course, sticking with IndyCar whenever time permits. And so, venturing out a little bit to the other side of motorsports world, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at BriarStarTV. That's all lowercase. And, of course, on Instagram, B_Star18. And then you can follow our social media page at Speedway Media on Twitter. And that's where you should be able to find all our handles.
Nice work. All right, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to wrap things up for the interview this evening on the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Breyer, always a pleasure having you on the show. Stay safe, stay healthy, and enjoy Super Bowl 55. I'm sure we're going to be texting back and forth at some point during that game. So I will be in touch for sure, my man.
All right. Thank you, Eddie. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Sports podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going three wide.